We are before you today based on the Title IX, the establishment of sanitary or water districts upon petition of voters. And that's really a key thing here. And I wanted to sort of take you through a 15-20 second step of this. There are a number of shall requirements in the Delaware Title IX. If we receive 50 or more eligible petitions, then we shall hold a public hearing. You shall consider the establishment of a boundary. You shall hold a referendum, and you shall honor the results of a referendum. The only discretionary step is today, believe it or not. That is the only discretionary step. Let me read it to you. It says, you shall, by resolution, determine, here's the discretionary, whether or not is in the public interest to establish the district. So today, you're deciding, is it in the public interest to establish or not the district? Once that's done, again, shalls kick in and you move forward. So, you've heard a couple of conflicting things today, or they appear to be conflicting on the surface. They are really not. What you heard by the public are true statements. There were less confirmed eligible petitions than which were received. That's a true statement. We received more. But once we went through the process, less were eligible because some were not eligible. There were circulations with making statements of certain costs. That is true. They were not county authorized or county sponsored or county signed and sealed costs. These were presented at the public hearing. Again, you were told of lower costs, correct, not authorized, not presented by the county. How much higher costs, authorized and presented by the county at the public hearing, which was required because we received the petitions. So, again, true statements you heard today. You've been told that some people may have never signed a petition to go through the process if they had known about the higher cost. Yeah, that's true. But how can they know about the higher cost unless we go through the process? So we have been through the process. Now we're at the point where the people who are within the preliminary boundary were invited by letter to the public hearing and by posting as required. We had a good turnout at the public hearing. And at the public hearing, we presented what we believe the true and accurate costs. So, now, everybody who is within the boundaries of the proposed district have now the right to vote if you choose to proceed with or without that need at that boundary. So, having said that, again, there are certain things which were alluded to previously. Not everybody in that proposed boundary has a problem. Very true. Not everybody within the proposed boundary would like to have the service. Very true. Now, the boundary must be contiguous by state law. The interpretation of many legal counsels that continuity cannot include islands or donut holes. I'm looking at Mr. Moore. It should not have unreasonable jagged boundaries. So, what you're asked to consider today, and Mr. Ashman will take you through the steps, is when the new public hearing was set, the clock was reset. You've heard previously said, system-wide, you are correct. We have determined by affidavit that system-wide being subdivision-wide, there is was a majority of owners who felt by affidavit that this is not appropriate for the subdivision-wide. Hence, the independent owners group organized that new petition drive. So let me take you through the steps of what has unfolded since the public hearing, because that's what we're here to consider today. John?
Hi.
The initial boundary, if I may, let me just, since I'm on the roll. The boundary, as you saw and you authorized for posting, is shown here. This is also the same boundary which Ms. Jason presented to you in the handout, which had different colors on it based on who asked for the process to be initiated, who was opposed, and others. Next. Now, after the public hearing, we received the following requests for removal. And you may recall, it resets the clock, so whoever had an affidavit in a year ago that they didn't want a water district still had to let us know that they're not interested, because, and we made that clear in the public hearing, please call in, email in, any way you want to notify us. So we received, and that was through Thursday noon, because we had to cut it off because we have to send it to you so you can see the presentation. So we received seven outs.
Eight outs,
and seven ins, right?
Nine ins.
As you can see, clearly, we would create islands if we added these seven in. We would create jack-o'-lanterns if we just took this one parcel. We only have real one piece where we can truly say it is a potential for an extension. And the only reason you see this one jack-o'-lantern appearing piece on the side here is because one of the potential water providers would be routed through, and we would have to request an easement from that particular parcel. So that is the only reason that is in. They did ask for the service, but that's only they asked to go through the process, but that's the only reason it's in. Now, John, would you please circle the other one? The other jack-o'-lantern piece up there. This piece here, we don't feel comfortable for including that because we would go against the rules of trying to create jagged and irregular boundaries. So we try to say the only piece where we feel comfortable making an adjustment, recommending to you an adjustment, is this one down here. So before you today is whether or not we should proceed, and if we proceed, whether you're comfortable with the original boundary or whether you want to see the amended boundary as we would propose it today. That's the decision before you today.
So this would be the recommended boundary, including these two parcels down here. We have requests from both of those to be included, and it does not bring in any additional unpetitioned parcels. It just brings in those two that have requested inclusion.
That they've asked to be included or excluded?
They have asked to be included.
Those last two there.
And the yearly cost is what now? Now that I've heard,
the cost stated was correct. The yearly cost is nearly
$1,300. $100.
It was a correct statement.
Okay, and the statement made about only two or three people have bad water. And the comment was, why are we spending all this money for two or three people? Why can't it? And there is ways to correct water, right? There's all kinds of things out there that can fix your water, I guess. But
I think we can all agree that we would all prefer that council would not have to deal with this issue. However, it's not for us, the engineering department, to judge who has and who does not have insufficient water supply based on quality. So I've seen some results, and I've seen some other results. In my professional opinion, having dealt with a number of water treatment processes, some of the results I've seen, and I don't want to mention numbers, but some of the ones are very difficult to treat. Others are relatively easy to treat.
Okay.
So I try to not judge on when you want to make a decision whether you feel it is beyond your personal treatment capabilities or not.
And the other question was about who's going to do this? Are we working with one of the water franchise companies that exist in the county, or is it the county going to set up something? Have we decided that, or is that still questionable?
We have explored three options. Two public water utilities, mm-hmm, where we could purchase bulk water from, and one would be a standalone option where we provide a supply and a treatment option on site. Now, having said that, we cannot fully explore this beyond this initial exploration, because we need to have a district in order to qualify for a planning grant request through the state. We could go through a lengthy preliminary engineering report, but we have nobody to charge the expense to. So in essence, if we are to proceed forward, we should have a district, so we should have an entity to charge the expense to. And at that point, the preliminary engineering report, which will be the basis of the ultimate funding request if approved, will then flesh out whether it is standalone or one of the two bulk water providers.
And who makes that? Does it, our engineering department, you guys, or we do, or do the...
The engineering report would be presented to you.
Okay,
we'd make the recommendation from the engineer. Gotcha. And ultimately, you will authorize us to file the application for funding.
Right. And we're probably, when we look at that, we're going to look at the cost associated with each of these three options, possibly. We won't really be able to determine that this, say, company has better water quality than this, you know, or does a better job, or, you know, we can't get into that too much, can we?
What I stated at the public hearing, will I repeat here, any and all options must meet federal primary and secondary drinking water standards, and mm-hmm. it is up to us as the utility to make sure they do.
Okay.
Secondly, in order to obtain state or federal funding, we must choose the least cost option. If we do not, we would be asked to fund the difference or have a really good explanation why we would not choose the least cost option.
Does water have anything to do with the sewer?
The water has very little to do with the sewer, Councilman Wilson. There is an opportunity, and I was already cautioned at the public hearing. The project will not unfold simultaneously, but they will unfold in conjunction with each other. And there is some benefit to the restoration side of the project.
But how about the cost? Is there a little difference? Is there a difference? Cost $1,300 for water? What, or do we have? Or do we have different costs for sewer and different water?
The cost for the sewer does not change.
Doesn't change.
No, does not change. The sewer is the deeper utility. The sewer will cause the bigger disturbance. The sewer will have the higher restoration costs.
But there'll be cost savings because they're looking at both projects.
If the project did not have a sewer component, the water costs would even be higher. But because the sewer question has been resolved in the affirmative, so we could assume there will be a sewer project.
So you're trying to put the line in the same place the sewer goes?
We will share in the restoration effort.
Yeah.
Questions? Mr. Burton.
Can you explain this map versus that map?
The map you see before you shows the verified petitions we received, others, and properties owned by the association. That's the breakdown of this map.
But this has three colors on it, and that has one.
This is our final determination of a proposed boundary for your consideration. What you see before you...
That's just the boundary.
That is only the boundary.
That includes people who want it and don't want it. But
that
does, right?
This one. What you see there are the greens are those that have sent petitions. The yellows are either those who petitioned against or did not respond at all. That's why you see the roadways. And the blues are parcels controlled by the HOA.
And there's no color for people that want more information, right? So if they responded...
The yellow.
If they responded with the green, they wanted more information.
Okay. The green is... I don't know that I'm in.
That's a petition.
I might be in. I need more information
right.
to be
that
in or out.
That means we're going to a public hearing to discuss costs, estimates, impacts.
It doesn't necessarily mean they will accept it in the end, right? But they did go to the effort to make a petition, send it into the county. So,
and that
doesn't mean they're 100% for it.
If I may piggyback on Commissioner Cole's comment. I said the exact same thing at the public hearing. I said it in several discussions with the residents. Filing a eligible petition and learning about the cost then does not necessarily trigger a positive vote in a referendum, because now you know the true cost and you know the true boundary, so you may or may not feel the same as you did initially.
So you needed so many votes to get to where you can calculate expense, and now you need so many votes to say we're all going to share in that expense.
We needed a proposed boundary, i.e. 50 petitions or more, so many votes, in your words, to calculate an estimated expense, and we need to maintain a certain boundary, i.e., like you said, certain number of votes, in order to maintain the cost which we presented at the public hearing. If you, for example, arbitrarily cut this in half, I would strongly recommend you do not proceed forward and say you are not ready to present a resolution, because if you were to cut it in half, the cost as presented at the public hearing would be significantly affected, and we would be ill-advised to proceed.
But what you're asking us to do now is to vote for the boundary to go out to vote, so that the yellows could possibly turn green and the greens could possibly turn
100% true.
Mr. President, may I ask a question?
Barlett.
I know one of the gentlemen earlier had a concern, or female, I don't recall. Somebody had the comment as it relates to, I guess this, I'm assuming legally this boundary is one part of the bigger community. So by law, we are permissible to have a separate boundary, or a partial boundary, if you would, within the legal subdivision?
100%. Affirmative based on Title IX. Title IX does not speak to subdivision, it speaks to eligible petitioners. So, I've explained this to several people who called me on this particular issue. If the Title IX were to be restricted, and it would not be an unreasonable change to the Delaware Code, however, currently it does not even speak to the entirety or the partiality of any existing subdivision within the state. And these are not subdivisions of the state, they are subdivisions as recognized by Sussex County, and there's a big difference. Because it speaks, the code under 6501 speaks to incorporated versus unincorporated, so there's a difference there how we treat them. But the code as it stands today does not recognize a subdivision either in its parts or is in its entirety.
Is that something that you would suggest that we have the state legislature look at and adjust on the recommendation? I don't know.
It will create.
Or is that a further discussion to have another day?
If I may speculate, it would create equal emotions as you've seen here today. So it would be. It would probably be not a unanimous situation. If we as a county presented it to the state legislature, TORS for us, it would not be as easy a pass as our EDU legislation, that's for sure.
So, but today we're focused on what the current law is, current code says, and so therefore we must address this. So the concern earlier is like, how can we do this? Well, we have to. We shall, as you mentioned earlier.
Let me read it to you one more time. The county government shall by resolution determine whether or not it is in the public interest to establish a district. Okay. That's where we are.
Okay. And again, today's vote is just for more information and have a final vote on whether as the proposed boundary, yes, they want it or yes, they don't want it.
Unless you change the boundary significantly, the information has been presented and we're ready for the vote. If you were to cut it in half, I would strongly recommend we go to a second public hearing, re-advertising and essentially retrace our last two steps, public hearing, boundary selection, et cetera.
Okay.
Have we split a subdivision before?
Not that I'm aware of. Not since I've been here, I will say.
Thank you.
Definitely not for water, because we don't have a water district.
The administrator has a good point.
Does the same would apply for sewer?
Yes, the sewer and the water language are written in the same paragraph.
So the same thing could occur. Have we ever split sewer?
We have areas where certain pieces of subdivisions, because they front certain roads, are served by sewer.
Correct. There is, I can say, Sherwood Forest. everything fronting one road has sewer, but the internal area does not.
Right, but nothing like this has been done with sewer, where it wasn't a frontal road, it's just a group that says, hey, we want it, we're going to petition.
Not that I'm aware of.
Any else from council?
Yes, I'm sorry, I apologize, Mr. President. I know time is running late. The few that have had the issues with their water, refresh my memory, have we heard from them publicly here before?
You have before, and you've heard from?
One gentleman today. From one gentleman today made a reference to.
Okay, I just want to, okay, thank you.
Anything else from council? Mr. Eisman, you have something to?
I have a resolution.
Motion for us.
Whereas petitions were received from more than 50 legal voters of the proposed Winding Creek Village Water District requesting the Sussex County Council to submit the question of organizing a water district to a vote of electors residing in that area. The description and a map of the proposed district boundaries as attached as Exhibit B, which was the original boundary. Whereas a public hearing was held on June 15th, 2017 on the question of organizing a water district, dealing with the location of the boundaries and of the proposed Winding Creek Water District as shown in Exhibit B. Now therefore be it resolved by the Sussex County Council that the establishment of a water district is deemed to be in the public interest and will be conducive to the preservation of the public health.
Pleasure of council.
I move we accept it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
I will second the motion.
Second, Mr. Arlett. I have a motion and a second. Any questions on the motion? This is setting the boundaries for the water district.
For the referendum.
That's what it's always doing. Okay. We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
I will share the concern that some have had regarding, you know, having a boundary that does not include the entire legal subdivision. That is of concern. At the same time, we have a responsibility by state law, whereas we've received certain amount of numbers of people who have an interest in seeking more information, and so therefore we shall make a decision based on today. Whether I agree to the state law or not is not the discussion today. So based on what's been presented today, I will allow the people of the community to make the ultimate decision, so therefore I will vote yes.
Burton.
I couldn't have said that better, and I will vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
And I will vote yes.
Mr. Cole.
We just had three votes, so yes.
Okay, three.
Yes. Well, it sounds like it's going to happen, so I'll vote yes to continue the process, and again, give the people the voice to decide their own fate, I guess.
I would agree with that. I'll vote yes also. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Sure. One more thing while you're here, just real quick. Based on that approval, we'd like to present you with a proposed schedule for the referendum. The referendum will be scheduled for September 14th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Conley's Methodist Church. Absentee ballots will be available with a deadline at noon the day before on September 13th, 2017, to allow those that are on vacation to be able to vote.
Very good.
And Mr. Cole, Councilman Cole, as you see, only once we have the affirmative for the vote, then you shall establish the district, and only then we can prepare the reports and go to the next steps.
Thank you. Thank you. Grant requests. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is the Friends of Milford Museums requesting $2,000 for their executive director position. Museum visitation has increased to 3,000 people annually through the efforts of the director. Last grant received was $2,500, which was $2,000 from Mr. Wilson and $500 from Ms. Stever. And again, they're requesting $2,000, and Mr. Wilson placed it on the agenda.
Wilson.
I say yes.
You want to grant the $2,000?
And I go to Mrs. Stever, see if she'll get $500.
You mean Mr. Burton?
I bet you, Mr. Burton.
I'm in for $500. Is the museum in Sussex County?
It is in Sussex County.
Okay.
It's in Milford.
Yeah, but not all Milford.
But it's on the side of the river.
That's just on this. I'm in for five, Mrs. Stever.
Okay.
I have a motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Burton, to grant $2,500 Friends of Milford Museum for the annual fundraising campaign being $2,000 from Mr. Wilson and $500 from Mr. Burton.
Were they requesting $2,500 or $2,000?
They requested $2,000.
He said $2,000.
Okay.
Or do you want to make it $2,000 total?
That's what that would be.
Okay.
I'll make mine $1,500.
There you go. Motion now. Scratch the first motion. Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Burton.
Yes.
To grant $2,000 in total. The Friends of Milford Museum for annual fundraising campaign being $500 from Mr. Burton and $1,500 from Mr. Wilson. Correct?
You're exactly right.
Question on the motion. We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I'll be as motion carried.
Okay. The next one, Historic Georgetown Association is requesting $10,000 to help with the cost of an addition to their first firehouse in Georgetown. The addition would house a restroom so people of the community will have the opportunity to use the facility for meetings and other programs. There have been no past grants for this project. Last grant received was $1,000 from Mr. Wilson.
Make it two.
$2,000.
Yeah.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second.
Second.
Mr. Burton. To grant $2,000 to the Historic Georgetown Association for improvement to Georgetown's first firehouse. Being $2,000 from Mr. Wilson's councilmatic account. Questions on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
I'm actually going to vote no because it's beyond what they've asked for. So personally, I'm going to vote no.
Well, no question. They didn't ask how much.
They did.
Did it say how much wanted?
I think they wanted $1,000.
No. They requested $10,000.
Oh, $10,000.
$10,000.
So what was the amount again?
$2,000.
I will retract my vote. I apologize. I thought it was $1,000 versus that. So I will retract that.
He should listen better.
Oh, I'm now, listening. So I will vote yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
I believe the $1,000 came in from the last time.
Yes.
I'll vote yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay. The next one is Georgetown Historical Society is requesting $10,800 for the improvements to their stable building. The improvements will provide sufficient space to display their historical collection. There have been no past grants for this project. Last grant received was $12,000, which was $7,500 from Mr. Wilson, $2,000 from Ms. Deaver, and $2,500 from Mr. Cole.
I vote we do it again.
Well, where's Mrs. Deaver?
So the motion would be then for $12,000. How much did they ask for?
$10,800.
They asked for $10,800.
Yes.
For the cheer?
For the Georgetown Historical Society for improvements to their stable building.
That's Mr. Marvel's deal, George. Why you were in?
Oh, that's
so. $10,800 was the request. Now the question, I guess, Mr. Cole and Mr. Burton, do you want to participate in this?
And how much is Mr. Wilson putting in?
I'm putting $5,000 in.
He'll put $5,000.
I have a soft spot for the Georgetown Historical Society, and I'll do $500.
For Mr. Marvel's state, Mr. Marvel's
museum.
Museum.
Better Marvel. So we got $5,000 from Mr. Wilson, $500 from Mr. Cole.
I'll do $500 with Mr. Cole.
And $500 from Mr. Burton. So a total of $6,000, being $5,000 from Mr. Wilson, $500 from Mr. Burton, and $500 from Mr. Cole. Is that correct?
Yes.
How about you, Mr. Arlett? Won't you want to ride next?
I am not. I'm going to allow you three to continue what you've done in the past.
Oh, you like to ride that carriage?
Well, he won't be getting a carriage next year, will he?
Any questions on a motion? We're going to take the vote.
We'll see to that.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
He'll be in a donkey cart.
Yes.
Although, yes, we should carry it.
We'll take care of him, won't we, IG?
Cheer is requesting $1,000 for their 7th annual car, truck, and bike show. The show benefits Cheer's Sandhill Adult and Meals on Wheels programs. Last grant received was $1,000, which was $500 from Mr. Wilson and $500 from Ms. Deaver.
Expensive day for you, sir.
How about you, Mr. Burke?
I would like to keep it that same number.
Same number.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Burton. To grant $1,000 to Cheer Incorporated for their car, truck, and bike show, being $500 from Mr. Wilson's councilmatic account and $500 from Mr. Burton's. Questions on the motion?
your point on right there.
Take the vote, Mr. Arbet?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Next.
Okay. Town of Blades is requesting support for their annual National Night Out with their police department. Last grant received was $500 from Mr. Vincent.
I make that motion, please.
So moved.
Motion,
second.
Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Arlett, to grant $500 to Town of Blades with Police Department annual night out from my council bank account. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Okay. And the last one is Autism Delaware is requesting $2,000 for their annual fundraising event, the Blue Jean Ball. The ball helps support both family support services and adult vocational services in Sussex County. Last grant received was $1,300, which was $500 from Ms. Deaver and $200 from each of the four remaining council members.
They're asking for how much?
They're asking for $2,000.
I make a motion we do it the same way.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Cole, to grant $1,300 to Autism Delaware for the Blue Jean Ball fundraiser, being $500 from Mr. Burton and $200 from the either four of us. Mr. Wilson, myself, Mr. Arlett, Mr. Cole.
I would like to make up the difference to get them to the $2,000 on their request.
Okay.
That's choose lot.
We need seven. So motion will be to grant $1,200 from Mr. Burton's account and $200 from Mr. Wilson, from myself, from Mr. Arlett, and Mr. Cole. Is that a motion, Mr. Burton?
That is a motion.
Motion, Mr. Burton, second, Mr. Wilson. Question on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Mr. Moore, for those zoning ordinance introduction.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The first one is an ordinance grant of conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a commercial landscaping business with outdoor parking, storage of vehicles, equipment, and other ancillary storage related to the business to be located on certain parcels of land lying being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 25.156 acres, more or less, in Mr. Burton's district.
I'll introduce the motion.
Burton introduced it.
And the next one is an ordinance grant of conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for mini storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 3.21 acres, more or less, in Mr. Cole's district.
So I'll do it.
Mr. Cole introduced it.
The next one is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district for a certain parcel of land lying being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 4.484 acres, more or less, Mr. Burton's district.
I'll introduce it.
Burton introduced it.
And the last one's an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being Georgetown 100, Sussex County, containing 8 acres, more or less, Mr. Wilson's district.
I introduce it.
Mr. Wilson introduces it.
That is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Council member comments. Council member comments. Anything? Mr. Burton.
I have two things. You all right? I have two things, and one is that we left the record open for receipt of information for the conditional use. And I don't know the number, but it's Mr. Blessing's deal, and we've each been given the packet of information. And
we got everything, Ms. Cornwell.
Okay. So I'd like to get that on the agenda for next Tuesday, and then to follow suit with that would be the conditional use of the gym on Savannah Road. I don't know that number either, but I'd like for both of them. We have the information, and it ought to just get up or down.
Okay. Anything else?
Because it's, relevant. I'm actually just wanted to share, looking forward to going to NACO, Ohio, and being part of committees and major conversations nationally with our counterparts, regarding water of the USA and immigration. It's a lot of very important topics that are going to be discussed and finalized and presented to the board. For your vote, Mr. Council, Mr. Cole. So just wanted to share that. Look forward to it.
Any more comments from council?
Make a motion to recess.
Hold up, wait a minute. One thing, just in case anybody's listening or sitting out here, our public hearing this afternoon, conditional use 2079 and 2080, we've received a letter to withdraw those. We will vote on that at the 1:30 public hearing, whether to allow them to withdraw or not. And entertain a motion to go into executive session for potential litigation and land acquisition.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions on that motion? Take the vote, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
You vote first, it's not your way.
That's good.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.